Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. If you came to the house of God this morning excited and ready for God to do some work in your life, shout a big, give it a big shout of hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and say, are you ready? Because God's going to do some awesome things in this house. We're going to invite you to come forward as we give God our praise and our worship. The praise that decrees and declares what God has done, that breaks bondages, that facilitates the victory. And our worship that recognizes who God is. Heavenly Father, we give you in this place ourselves, submitting all things before you. You move in this place. We cannot wait to be changed by you. We cannot wait to give you our best this morning. We love you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Are you ready to praise the Lord with me this morning? All right, we're going to move around a little bit, so go ahead, step side to side. There we go. Oh,
makes me stronger. You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength. I don't even want you to say anything. I just want you to laugh. Go ahead, do it. Just trust me. It's kind of weird. I just want you to find three people and laugh. Just find three people.
and tribulations this week, when you call on the name of Jesus, stuff has to break. When you call on the name, it must move. See, when I call your name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't get me started again, please. Don't get me started again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I have things. Hallelujah. 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 When I call your name. When I call your name.
When I call your name.
Come on and sing it with us. When I call your name.
When I call your name.
What's his name?
As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. And the honor. I lift my hands. I lift my hands in worship as I bless. As I bless your.
Come on, you are great.
And you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Come on and sing that out.
There is no one else.
There is no one else.
Sing, you are.
You are great.
And you deserve
miracles so great.
Cause there is no one like you, Father God. You deserve the glory.
Come on and lift your hands and sing this out.
And the honor.
Sing, I lift my hands.
As I bless your. You deserve it all, yeah. You deserve the honor.
Sing that out.
There is no one else in.
You
do miracles on my behalf. Yeah.
There is no one else.
Come on, let's go back to the verse. You deserve.
You deserve the.
Come on and sing it out. Let me hear you.
And the. As I lift my hands,
as I
bless your name, come on, you deserve it all, and the honor, Come on, I lift my hands in worship as I'm blessed, because you are great. You do miracles, and there is no one else like you. Come on and sing it out. You are, and you do miracles for me, and there is no one, there is nobody else like you, Father.
Keep singing. One more time.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
There is no one else like you. You are great.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
We thank you, Father. Like you. The great part is when you know God, that's not just a song. Amen. There's no one as great as God. There's no one as good as Jesus. He meets every need there is, satisfies your soul. You know, we've watched it just in the last year, some names that everyone would have thought their whole life was in order, and they've actually taken their own lives. We've seen catastrophes occur. We've seen situations in our own lives. There's one thing that keeps you tight. That is, the more you know Jesus, you don't have to go down those same trails. Your satisfaction can be in Christ and Christ alone. And when it is, I want you to know you have a firm foundation that no one can shake. God wants you constant and consistent. And that comes through that relationship with Jesus. And I just want to challenge you. You know, God is great. Miracles happen all the time. You're going to hear miracles this morning. We have miracle testimonies. Not just thoughts, but miracle testimonies. You know, you can fight everything, but you can't fight a miracle. Amen. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Your God is good and not bad. Amen. I said amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome five or six folks you don't know? Come on now, this is friend day, so you got to be friendly. Go find somebody you don't know. Shake their hand, say, good morning.
Okay, that's enough talking, enough mingling. Go ahead and have a seat now. Okay? Thank you.
Why are we still watching this?
Really? It's not gonna be much longer.
You already know the Mets are gonna lose.
What are you talking about? They're not that far behind. They could come back.
They're gonna lose.
Just stop, seriously.
It's not like the Red Sox.
Over.
The Red Sox isn't playing. Turn the channel.
No, in this house we're watching the Mets. Are you needing the marriage encounter?
Because if you do, go Red Sox. We have the perfect encounter for you, September 27th through the 29th.
The total cost for the conference is $425. First deposit of $150 is due immediately. Make sure you sign up by going to PastorDan@HisTabernacle.com or seeing us in person. Make sure you sign up today.
July 14th, we will be having an outreach in Grove Street Park. We're calling it a block party, but really what it is us loving our community. We're gonna be giving out hot dogs, giving out clothes, telling people about Jesus, and we want you to be part of it. So that's happening July 14th. We're starting off at 11:30 and ending at 1. We would love to have you with us.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at Aaron@HisTabernacle.com.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Come on, one more time. I want you guys to put your hands together for the name of Jesus. Come on, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. Amen. We are so excited to be in the house of the Lord. I just love worshiping with y'all every single week. It is a privilege and a joy. So thank you so much for coming out to our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time coming to worship with us, can I just see your hand up like this? Awesome. Keep those hands up. That is amazing. That is amazing. If you could just keep your hand up like this for about the next 10 to 15 seconds, we're going to have somebody coming around with a guest packet for you. Come on, give it up for our guests one more time. This is awesome. This entire section is packed out with guests. You guys could have chosen any church in the world today to worship with, but you guys chose here. So we thank you for that. We appreciate you. We honor you. Inside of those bags, you're going to find some information about our church. But also, after our church, we want to meet you outside in our foyer and also on our patio. In addition to some ice cream, you're going to get to know us a little bit more, all right? So go out there to that tent and just say, hey, I'm new. Can I find out a little bit more about your church? We'll be more than happy to just get to know you guys a little bit more. So one more time for our guests, because we love you guys. Amen. And then keep on clapping for our live stream family. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are part of our family. Thank you so much for watching every single week, being faithful in all that you do. We love you guys so much. All right, guys, here at His Tabernacle, there are two main things that we do. The first thing is called Next Steps. Say Next Steps. This is where you can take what is going to be taught, what an awesome time every Sunday morning, but make sure that you're taking that next step in your faith, okay? You want to make sure that you have a rock solid faith. You want to make sure you can give an account for what you actually believe in. So we have an awesome educational program here that no matter if it's morning or night, whatever it is for your schedule, and even going to be online soon, we want to make sure you have access to every phenomenal teaching for you to take a next step in your faith. So we have two main classes that we're doing right now. The first one is called Step One, which is Rock Solid Faith. We offer that Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, and Thursday nights. There is so many opportunities for you to go through that class. After you've gone through that class, we have a class that's called Next Step, Step Two. And right now we're doing family and parenting. So on this side of the building, 7 p.m., it will be in our large classroom. You're going to be going through a one-hour teaching of how to be able to raise up your family and to parent according to biblical principles. So you do not want to miss those two classes. We also do something called groups. Shout groups. If you're in my group, you're in the best group possible. Come on, somebody. But if you're in any other group, that is still a good group. I'm kidding, kind of. But if you're in a group, let me just see your hand up. Yeah, awesome. You guys are so brilliant because you know why? You are not living life alone. There is nothing worse than going through this life living it alone. So if you want to get plugged into a group, find somebody that raised their hand on your row and say, hey, can I join your group? Or hey, give me some more information about your group. We want to make sure that not only are you going to have a rock solid faith, not only will you be taking next steps, but you will not be having to live in life alone. We want to live life with you. Amen?
Good morning. We are entering into our time of tithes and offerings. And I'm remembering when Brother John Avanzini came and taught us on Malachi 3, where it tells us to tithe. And when we tithe, it puts us under an open heaven. And an open heaven is so much more than blessing of our finances. An open heaven is His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which encompasses prosperity and health and restoration and all things good. And we want to walk under an open heaven. So this morning we have a testimony of God's miracle working power. And actually, the testimonies are in line waiting. They are tripping each other up to be able to give testimony of what God is doing in this house. So get ready for this awesome miracle testimony from one of you. Just somebody that comes in and participates with church just like you.
So good morning. Thank you. Hi. So my name's Robin Savard. I've been coming to His Tap since 2005. Actually had a miracle for myself, 2005, coming out of the Catholic Church, not really having a lot of teaching, and was healed of breast cancer. So it's 2018. So I just give God glory and praise for that. So in Psalm 119, it says, remember the testimonies. So I'm praying that as you hear this testimony, that you're going to remember it and that you will think on it. And you'll know that testimonies are not just for other people. It's for people like us. It's you and I. So last Friday, my mom called me at work and said that my sister had collapsed at work. And they thought it was a heart attack. And she said, you know, it's no big deal. You don't have to rush out. If your mom ever tells you that, that's the only time you don't listen to her, go to the hospital. So I finished up and got everything I needed to do at work, got right down to the hospital. And we found out that what had happened is at lunchtime, while she was waiting for lunch, she was having heartburn for months and months. She also has high blood pressure. She was diagnosed with high blood pressure and had been on medication for over a year. But she was having heartburn. She was also having back pain. She had just gone to the doctor last week for back pain. But she had heartburn nonstop for months. And so what happened was that even a month ago, she had heartburn so bad that she was in her bed and she couldn't move. And come to find out, they think she was having a mild heart attack then. She thought she had a panic attack a couple weeks ago at work because she was getting tingly and dizzy, heartburn real bad, backache. She was also having a heart attack, a mild heart attack then. So we didn't know any of this. So anyway, she collapsed at work. There were two CPR people that were certified in CPR in the lunchroom that normally is never there. They had to do CPR on her between 10 and 15 minutes. The EMT drivers later said that typically that long, it's not a very good survival rate. So she got, they did CPR, EMTs came. She was in cardiac arrest. They brought her to the hospital. She had a stent put in. She was between 70 and 90% blockage. And when she came out, she was completely non-responsive. She couldn't open her eyes. She, you know, couldn't wiggle her toes or move her fingers. It was like nothing was there. So once they found out about all the other things that had happened, so it'd probably been months where she was having oxygen deprivation. So when this happened and she was unresponsive, the doctor came to the waiting room and they said to, she told us, listen, your sister is probably not going to make it. It's extremely critical. And if she does, she's probably going to have extensive brain damage. So the whole time they're kind of like preparing us for when she comes awake and how like we're going to have to make decisions then. So I don't know anything else to do but to pray. And I've been taught that you call on his name, right? And he's a miracle maker and a God that's so great. So I gathered my family around and we just started declaring that she would not die, but she would live. We started saying that she was blessed and not cursed, that we were going to rebuke the sickness and the demonic assignment that was sent after to kill, steal, and destroy her. And we went after that. And so the following day, I gathered all my prayer books, everything I had on healing. I call it my arsenal. And I'm telling you, you have to have a library. You have to have this go-to stuff that when stuff happens, you've got it there. So it's all the Word. It's not anything man has written, but it's the Word of God. And I just opened up every book I had. For hours, I sat there and just declared the Word over her. I declared life into her body. I declared that she was not going to have any brain damage. I was so thankful Pastor Dan and Jody came, and we laid hands on her. Dan had this side of her head. Jody had this side of her head. I had her heart and her belly, and we just prayed. We anointed her with oil. And she was, since Friday, she had been in a state. So she was a hypothermic state where they lower your body temperature to 71 degrees. And it's supposed to help heal the brain of any injury. So she was in a medically induced coma. She was in a medically induced paralysis so that she couldn't move. She couldn't shiver. She was tied down on the bed. And so on Saturday night, they told us they were going to start raising her body temperature. And by about 6, 7 o'clock, they were going to start slowly easing off on the sedation. And then around 2, she was probably going to come awake, and that was going to be the telltale sign. Now, this whole time, I have to tell you, the whole time, I never, ever, ever believed in anything other than Annie was going to be completely healed. But my daughter's a nurse and an ER in New Hampshire. Her experiences, people don't survive this. Her experiences, people are brain dead. And so after she had met with some of her colleagues, she had called and she's like, Mom, I really need to come and be there for you, because she was expecting that when that tube came out of Annie's throat, that she was going to probably be brain dead. And Morgan and I were leaving the hospital and we were on our way home, and I was talking to Michelle. I never thought about it. I never entered into my mind that she would die. And all of a sudden, this flood, this cloak started just covering me, and I began to weep. And I was thinking, oh my God, I may never see my sister again. And I remember laying on my bed crying and crying. And then I started calling out Jesus, and I'm like, Jesus, no. Jesus, she's gonna live. She's not going to die. the Lord has set a standard against the enemy, and that's what I believed, and that's what I went after. And so the next day I left church, and you had given testimonies on heart. Brother Al, I don't think they're here, Brother Al had just had a miracle on a stroke, and it was like there was no contest. And we put a demand on heaven, and that is what I was expecting. 10:45 after I left, she was already awake. 11 o'clock, she was making movements to get the tube out of her throat. That girl is completely healed, no brain damage. Yes, give God glory. Give him glory. He's a healer, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He sent his word and he healed. I thank the prayer team. I thank you, Pastor Andrea. She was sending me messages. Arise, Andrea, arise. I held on to that. I want you to hold on to the words of Jesus. Hold on to the testimonies. Ponder them in your heart. Hold them and protect them. We have a responsibility to protect the word of God. And when you do, you see miracles happen. Glory to God.
Woo! What an awesome, awesome, alive God we serve. He's so phenomenal. So in this house, we tithe, and tithe is simply a word from the Bible that means 10% of your income. We give our tithe, and God opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings that chase us down and trip us up. So if you're ready to give in this house, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration from the Word of God. This is simply Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you're a family participating. Go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
When I call your name. See, things have to move when I call your name. Blood must work in my behalf. When I call your name. See, the walls must move when I call your name. When I call your name. When I call your name.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. On Friend Day, we just want to welcome all those who've come with your friends, and we appreciate you being here. You know, what's unique is that every church is a little bit different in the aspect of presentation and how we impact. One thing that you might see in this house you don't see in some other ones, you maybe saw people raising their hands. And the Bible says, lift up your hands without wrath or malice, which means what you're doing is, what you're showing is the surrender that's happening inside exteriorly. So when you see someone raise their hands, it's not weird. They're not checking their deodorant. All they're doing is saying, I surrender, Jesus. Thank you. I appreciate all you're doing in my life. Amen? You saw some people getting excited, and there's a really good reason for that, because God's not dead. Listen, some of you act like a fool out there when you were drinking and smoking and toking. Man, you run around, you dance like a wild person all over the bars. You get to church and everybody's supposed to stand like this. Nope, I'm sorry. My God's not dead. He's alive. Amen? The church you go to has a direct impact on you reaching your eternity. And yet, you know something? In this house, we believe that when you're here, God's got a purpose for your life. If you got a purpose, shout amen. Amen. And in that, we just want to share a few testimonies. You know, some people have come from different backgrounds, there's folks in this church that have never been to church a day in their life. Remember one gentleman, he gave his heart to the Lord, and his name was Dad Henry. Dad Henry was 82 years old when he came to this church for the very first time. He had been out of church for over 40 years because the pastor had offended him and done some things that just weren't ethical. And so he had left church 40 some odd years before, came back to church, and that Sunday morning gave his heart to Jesus. And man, I got to hang out with Dad Henry for years. And man, I was so blessed to be able to do his funeral because I was able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he saw Jesus face to face. Amen? So I just want to share some testimonies with you. We've asked some folks just to share what God's done in their heart since they've been coming to his tabernacle, because it is. It's a dynamic church. You know, last week Alvin Slaughter, thank you. Alvin Slaughter, who's an international singer, he came here last week. Every guest that we've ever had in our church says this: that is you have a very unique church, Pastor. They really make it easy to do ministry, and you can tell they really love God. You know, Alvin Slaughter said, "I'll come back anytime you want me." Now, you need to know how big that is. That's pretty big. "I'll come back anytime you want me." He says, "We were just so blessed to be at his Tabernacle Family Church." So we just asked. Jen Lerner is going to share her testimony.
Hello.
Let me make sure it's on.
Am I on? Yep. Ooh, there I am. Okay. Okay, so here we go. All I can say first is that God is so good.
Yes, he is.
And his word is truly living and powerful. If you ever had any doubt, now is the time to wash that doubt away. His word is living and powerful. When it gets inside of you and you hear it and you grow in faith, that living and powerful word will transform you. The person I am today is not who I was 2 1/4 years ago. I came into his Tabernacle Family Church, and I was broken. I was in depression. I was suffering with addiction to alcohol, addiction to food. I had bipolar disorder, OCD, you name it. It was probably on the list. What I know is that I was lost, and I was searching, but I didn't know what I was searching for. I just didn't know what I needed to know, and I didn't even know how to figure it out. But when we walked through that door, Phil Johnson, you're here. There he is. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was because of his boldness and his drive to save souls. He approached me years ago and said, "Go find the field. There's some really good music there." And one morning, my son and I, we woke up late and we were missing church at a different location. And we don't ever wake up late at my house. That just does not happen with Ron Lerner. No. So we actually woke up and I'm like, "Wait a minute, Jake. It's time to go find that place in the field." So thank you, Phil, because we came that day. We walked in those doors, and we were greeted with love. Even my son said, "Mom, they already know my name." And that's right, because Jesus probably prepped their hearts for us. We walked in that door, and we had the lights were down, and the music was going, and they were praising, and they were worshiping. And I said, "Jake, this is it. This is just like a concert." Now, we didn't know what praise and worship was, but we knew that we were home. We knew where we were called to, and we knew we were home because God was working on our hearts already. So what I can say today is that God is good, because today I don't have to live on 10 pills a day to wake up in the morning, to get through the day, to fight my addictions. I don't have to take a pill to go to bed at night to get sleep. You know what I do? I get to pray to my Lord and my Savior. I get to declare his word, and his word says that he will give me peaceful sleep. He will send down angels that will camp around me and will protect me while I sleep. My son is protected while he sleeps, and so is my husband. Even if they don't say their prayers, I did. Every night, I declare the word of God over my family. They don't have a fighting chance, even if they wanted to run away from the Lord Jesus. But I'm proud to say that my husband and my son do serve the kingdom. They are in the word. They're hearing the word. They're growing in faith. And that's because God loves each and every one of us. He loved me enough that he allowed me to be broken. And when I was weak, when I was really weak, literally just stopped living. I was in my home and didn't even want to leave the four walls. When I was weak, he was strong, and he was the one who was calling me out of the darkness and into his light. And I know because the word of God told me that. He confirmed it when I was learning his word in rock solid faith. So I got to get to rock solid faith real quick. If you have not been there, go. Because you do not know what you do not know until you figured out that you didn't know it. And I know there's someone here that probably just doesn't know what you just don't know. So go figure it out. And if you need support, if you need family, if you need love, and you're just not comfortable with other people, I encourage you, take the step of faith and join a group. Go to a Bible study. Shake someone's hand. Let them love you and receive that unconditional love. And just know that God is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And he has brought me to where I am today. So where am I today? I've got notes, so I didn't get too far off track. Okay. So other things that influenced me at His Tabernacle Family Church. We said rock solid faith. Got that one down. Healing journey. If you have any form of unforgiveness and you want to work that out of yourself, it's not you that does the work. It is God. You call upon Jesus and he will heal you. He will help you to forgive and he'll help you to be forgiven. Healing journey, just join the class. There's another one starting in September. I encourage you. It was a blessing to me. No More Hurts book. I forgot to mention it first service. Wow. The living and powerful word of God. Absolutely. Matthew 25, I get to serve in Fusion. I was serving in Matthew 25. I was doing the Parks program because that's where God called me to. And I had to really step out in faith to do some of these things. But it was so worth it to do so. So then, of course, there's RBC. So don't forget about going to college if you want to. I thank you to the Pelko family for loving me with the Mary Kay days. You prayed for my family. You prayed for me. And I know your prayers were heard, so I thank you. The Wallenbeck family, they're my best friends ever. I pray to God, just give me a family that we can be loved by and that we can love. And the Wallenbecks, he just provided them to us. So today I am serving in the administrative team, which I didn't know I would ever be able to use my admin skills again. But like do you know the family we belong to? I mean, they love me. And even like when I screw things up, because I have, they still love me and they let me learn. And that's awesome. And then the worship team, Minister McKenzie, she's hiding. I know she's hiding somewhere, but she lets me be on her team and to praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is just awesome. That is just awesome. And then Pastor Dan, I work with him administratively now. He's going to be all right. He works with me 2 or 3 days a week, and I'm just going to keep a close eye on him. He's going to be all right. So if any one of you is here today and you have doubts about what God and Jesus can do and the Holy Spirit can do in your life, I just say take that step of faith, pray, declare the word, and watch him do miracles in you.
She said it all. I'm done. Have a good day. Our journey to this church began about 5 months ago, so we're new compared to a lot of people who have been here for a while. But the journey of 5 months took many years to lead us to the road, which is His Tab in this place today. And when we arrived at this building, we had a really rough 2 years. We had lost my mother. She passed away, followed by losing my job of 11 years at a college that I taught at, followed by having to uproot our lives out of Rochester and moving into Elmira, New York, which is like, what is Elmira, man? Like, God could have called me to be a missionary in Bermuda, the Caribbean, I would take Florida, right? But Elmira, hand gliding and snow and ay, ay, ay. But he brought us here. He brought us back. I was born and raised in this area, and the Lord said, I'm bringing you home after being on the road for 25 years and away from this place. And you've been through boot camp, and now it's time to come back. And when you come back, you're going to bring your lovely wife, and she's coming back with you. So when we walked through the doors of this place, we were... Over the last 2 years, we were wounded, we were hurt, we had a lot of wounds that needed to be taken care of. And I remember the first time we walked through the door, it was January, it was New Year's Eve. And we walked in and we went through this prayer line where the pastors were lined up on each side. And it was like the prayer car wash, man. It was like, shaw, swoom, flung, flung, ching, ching. And by the time you come out the other side, you're like, what just freaking hit me? Like, as I walked down the aisle, like, it felt like I got bricked all the way down through this line. And my wife, too, and we were just crying. And my wife said to me, this place feels like home. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. Because, you know, when we moved here, we came down for a different ministry. And then God led us to this house. And since we've been in this house, this is what we've experienced. We have experienced restoration. We've experienced love, unconditional love from the people here. The community has surrounded themselves around us. We have physical healing that's taken place. One of them recently was my wife had a high marker on multiple myeloma. And we said, you don't have this today, Satan. You were done. And they all came back normal, every single test. We have never experienced this kind of power, this kind of love, this kind of trust within any church community in our journey, but we found it here. Perfect? No way. No church is, by the way. Some a little worse than others, but we won't go down that road. Could tell you a few stories. But this church has love. This church has trust. This church is genuine. One last little story. Went into the hospital, thought I was having a heart attack, which was a fun time. But I was in there, and when you're having a heart attack, people really aren't supposed to be in there except your family members. Except the pastoral staff and worship team members found their way into the emergency room, and they were just praying, nothing's wrong with his heart, and just anointing me and praying for me and everything, and nothing is going to be wrong with you. And there was nothing wrong with me, by the way. I had high blood pressure, which is now totally under control, and God is healing all of that. But more importantly was the time even after that. So one, I'm just getting blasted with prayer in the ER. Pastor Spencer is actually texting my wife saying, is he okay? What's going on? And then that whole time I was in the hospital, many members from this community just kept dropping in, praying for us. Not only praying for me, but my roommate that was next to me, which ended up having a divine connection by a guy named Joe, who works for Minister Redner, knew this guy up here, and we ended up in the same hospital room for 4 days. And now Joe comes here regularly as well. The best part about that story is he didn't have a heart problem. He had diabetes and ended up in the heart ward in the bed next to me. So I'm just saying, this is a genuine community. If you want to know a place to plug into, to be loved, to actually find your divine purpose, we have renewed the vision and purpose in our lives being in this house where we had lost it before. This is the place.
Amen.
It's a beautiful church.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. The church you go to has a direct connection for you to reach your purpose on this planet. And it's important that you stay connected. You know, we want to encourage you to be consistent. Everybody say this with me out loud. Consistency is everything. Amen. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. And we want to welcome all the guests. Let me tell you something. You're not just in church. You're in Father's house. You've come to your Father in heaven's home, and he wants you to know today that he's glad you're in his house. You know, today I want to minister a quick message, and it's a message. 2 weeks ago we started preaching. We preached on hell. And many people were a little shocked on preaching on hell. Most churches don't preach about hell any longer. The fact is there is a real hell to shun and a heaven to run towards. Amen? There is a real hell, and we went over what hell is going to be like, and that hell actually is just a holding tank for the lake of fire, where there will be no sleep, there will be no rest. You will never see another human being again. You'll be tortured and tormented. Your body will be eaten by worms, will never be consumed. Your body will be burned by fire. You'll feel the sensations, but you'll never have peace. You'll never have the rest. You'll never forget every time you had opportunity to be saved and you walked away from God and saying, I don't want you now. You know, so when we went through hell, it was like, it was an interesting message because many people just said, you know, Pastor, I've never heard that before. But you know, I don't want to talk about hell today. I want to talk about the other place. If I say the North Country. That's right. I want to talk about heaven. Heaven is an amazing place, and heaven has been created for you. You see, what's amazing is when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it does more than become part of the church. You know, thank God I'm part of the church. But when you know Jesus as your Savior, you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And God calls you His child. He calls you His citizen. He calls you His family. There's nothing better than being part of the household of heaven. Can I hear an amen? So as a church, what's so cool about this is recognizing that we're here for a short period of time. Now listen, if you're in your 20s, you're thinking, boy, time goes by slow. But when you're in your 60s, you're going, dear Jesus, slow down. Slow down, you're going too fast. You'll find that time goes by so fast. All of a sudden, you're 20, you're 40, you're 60. Now you're 70 years old. And man, time goes by so fast. We've got to recognize that we have a short period of time on this planet. When you become born again, and I'm not saying join a church or join a religion, because you can come to church and not go to heaven. You can be a pastor and not go to heaven. What gets you to heaven, there's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the only way to go to heaven. That's the only way to make it to see Christ face to face. Man, you can be the nicest person on the planet and not make it to heaven. You can be the nicest grandma on the planet. Give everybody chocolate chip cookies that are still warm with some nice cold milk. And not go to heaven. Why? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? You know, that's what I love about this congregation. Remember, this is the second service, and right now, right up in Ithaca, we have another church service going on there. We also have another church service going on in Campeche, Mexico, Northern Campeche, Mexico, Merida, Mexico, Cancun, Mexico. We also have one near Mexico City. All of us are worshiping God and hearing the word of God being preached. Why? Because we're part of the family of God. We're all who know Christ going to heaven. Can I hear an amen? You know, God's family is so stinking cool. What I love about it is that we literally are all diverse, but yet all of us together making an amazing strength. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, it says this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Turn to someone next to you and say, I got a mansion. Come on, tell somebody else. Now listen, if you have a mansion, you should be a little bit more excited than that. Come on, tell somebody, I got a mansion. You know, what's funny is that there are people in the body of Christ that believe in what we call the poverty mentality. I'm sorry. Listen, you can't have a poverty mentality and start talking about heaven. It's opulent. When you start looking at the amazing generation that heaven is and how amazing God has created it to be, you can't ever think that God is poor. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in heaven. God wants his will in your life. What you see in heaven is what you get to participate with right here. It's awesome to recognize you got yourself a mansion. Come on, tell somebody, I got a mansion. And for all the poverty people in the house, all right, you got a small mansion. But I thank God I got a mansion. I thank God that what Jesus is saying here is so powerful. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, Jesus isn't a liar. If this is not true, if you're not going to have a mansion in heaven, then Christ is a liar. And if Christ is a liar, he can't be the Christ. He cannot be the one sent to forgive us of our sins. And let's just walk away from religion and walk away. Listen, if you're going to hell, go well. Amen? If you're going to hell, don't do it nice. Amen? Well, I'm just trying to be a nice person. If you're going to hell, stop being nice. If you're going to hell, go all the way. Because you're going to the same location, whether you're a nice hell person or a bad hell person. You know, this is where you and I have got to shake ourselves from this religious mentality. Jesus said, if you believe in me, If you believe in the Father, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. If it were not so, I would have said it. And then he goes on to say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You don't want to miss next week. Next week, I'm preaching on the rapture of the church. And I've been in contact with some amazing theologians and getting the proofs of the newest things that have happened that line us up for the rapture of the church. Some of you don't even know what the rapture of the church is. That is when Christ comes to take his church home. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18, as well as Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You don't want to miss to see how close we are to the cracking of the sky, to the trumpet of God sounding, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. Don't miss next week, because Jesus said, I'm coming back for you. That's called the rapture. And man, when he gets here, baby, we get to go to the North Country. Can I hear an amen? I love the fact that we got a home. Listen, this is not your home. So many believers get all settled where they are right now. I want you to know that you can build up the greatest of wealth and you'll walk away with nothing. I've done a lot of funerals, a lot of them. And I have never seen them put gold bars or bank accounts inside a casket. I've never seen, every once in a while, you'll see them put rings in there, but when they close that casket and they drop it into the ground, you'll never see that ring again until you exhume them. You see, you cannot take wealth with you when you go to the other side. And the decision of where you're going to go is the literal crossroads that every single human being on this planet is in front of right now. Today, if you die, you have made a decision. You do not make a decision whether I'm going to heaven or hell after you die. There is no such thing in the Bible as purgatory. There is no middle place in the scriptures. In the Bible, it's very clear. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. But if you do not confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have chosen to pay for your own sins. See, that's why Jesus came. He came to build a family, but in that, somebody has to pay for sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when Jesus died, what he was doing was paying for our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. So listen now, this is powerful. When somebody rejects Christ, what they're saying is, then I'm choosing to pay for my own sin. God sends no one to hell. We choose to pay for our own sin. And the wages of sin is death. So what happens is when an individual does not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it's not about joining a religion or joining a church. It's about who's going to pay for my sin. And every one of us are on that threshold. You see, this is not our home. We know how short linear time is. We know how quickly our time passes. Man, people come and people go. Death is early and death is old. But the one thing is for sure, we're all eternal beings. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There comes a reality in our spirit. There comes an understanding in our minds. Whether we choose to serve God or not, we're actually choosing where we're going to end up for all of eternity. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members. Shout, I'm a member. You're not a member of His Tabernacle Family Church. We don't even have membership. But you're a member of what? You're a member of the household of God. Man, this is the best part of all. You get to be part of God's family. He now says you have the right to be called children of God. Man, God is on your side. You got a Father in heaven. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father, your Padre, your Father in heaven knows how to bless you. You see, when you got God on your side, if God is for you, oh, you're awful quiet now. If God is for you, we're not talking religion. We're talking Daddy. We're talking Father God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says this, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, even though we live here, it's not our home. Our home, if you're born again, if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, our home is heaven. And I want to tell you something about heaven. Man, how many of you have ever been to a good party before? How many have been to a bad party before? Yeah, we've all been to those. You've been to a good party, man. I'm talking like you don't, in fact, you didn't forget it. You raised your hand. But man, this is not going to be the party of the century. This is going to be the party of eternity. God's got a party for you. It's called heaven, where you'll never die, where God is going to bless you. You're going to have a mansion. You're going to, let's get through what heaven's going to look like. It is an amazing place. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, that he's making a new heaven and a new earth. Do you realize that God made Watkins Glen Gorge for you? That God made the lakes for you? Man, the other day, yesterday I was at a wedding, and we're coming down off the mountains, and I'm looking. I love when you can see the different layers of mountains. Don't you love that? I love seeing the green. Listen, I'm not into the trees with no green. I love seeing the green and the different color greens and the fields and the deer. We got deer everywhere. Man, are you seeing a lot of deer or what? Lots of deer this year. All the baby fawns. We got twins out back. I love seeing the twins. We have the video camera out there watching the twins run around. God did all of that for you and I because he wants to bless us. We know heaven is so opulent. Heaven is so beautiful. We've seen people that we look in the scripture and Paul said, I've been to the third heaven. Man, we've talked about in the scripture where you break down what the verses say what heaven is like. That's awesome. But this is what Daddy says. This is what your Father in heaven says. He says, you know what? Yes, I blessed you with that, but even the earth groans, according to Romans chapter 8, for redemption. I'm going to make you a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. I'm not going to renovate the old one. I'm going to make a brand new one. And if you think the old one is good, wait till you see what I'm going to make for you next. What's really cool, Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, there's no more sun and there's no more moon. Man, God's brightness, the brightness of God himself, the very essence of who he is going to be our sunrises. I don't know if there's going to be a sunset. I hope he paste one up there just so it looks good. But I know there's sunrises. I know it's going to be just amazing. Why? Because God is going to stand at all times. We're going to see the beauty that heaven is going to behold. Man, there's another thing that every one of us in this room is always looking for. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. There's no more pain. Can I hear an amen? You know, when I was in high school, I used to work at Mr. Donuts. Now you know, if I said Mr. Donuts, you know what I'm talking about. You're old. Mr. Donuts. I say Dunkin' Donuts. I said Mr. Donuts. And I used to work at Mr. Donuts, and my manager, man, he was a wild guy. And one day we're down at the lake, you know, just having fun down at the lake. And, you know, I'm on the beach, and he's out in water about 6 inches deep, and I decided that I'm going to thrash him. He was a smaller guy, so I was going to thrash him. So I literally took off running as hard as I could, and I hit him in that water, and I drove him into the ground. It was so much fun, you know, because he caused me pain at work. So I just thrashed him, and when I got up, my second toe was over my third toe like that. I looked down, and I said, that's not good. So I got in my car, and I drove home, and I walked into my house, and I said, Dad, I think I broke my toe. And my father said, no, you just dislocated it. And he grabbed it with, I mean, the sound was horrible. And he goes, after that, he goes, maybe you did break it. Yeah, I think I did. But that toe never moved at that knuckle again. It still doesn't. In fact, what's amazing, when I get up in the morning, just recently I'm getting up in the morning. You know, I'm 52 years old. That's not old. Very young. Marlo, I need you here. Very young, say amen. But yet I'm getting up and I'm feeling that thing a little bit. You know, whether it's a small pain or whether it's a big pain, whether you got headaches, whether you got toothaches, whether you got toe aches, I want you to know that when you get to heaven, there's no more pain. There's no more suffering in any way, shape, or form. That God is going to just, you're going to get a brand new body. Shout, I got a new body. There's no more death. There's no more hunger. There's no more sadness. There's no more depression. There's no lack of sleep. Oh, Jesus. I'm talking heaven is just going to be phenomenal. I cannot wait to see Jesus face to face. But man, the benefits when we get there are pretty good too. The Bible did say we're getting that new body. It's called the glorified body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, you know what's so cool about this glorified body? There's no blood in it. The Bible says on earth, life is in the blood. But in heaven, we get Christ's body. There is no blood. That's why there's no sickness. That's why there's no disease. That's why there's no pain. That's why there's no suffering. We get the body of Christ. And let me tell you about the body of Christ. It's stinking cool. Star Trek has nothing on God. Do you remember when the disciples were in the upper room? And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. The Bible says the doors were closed, but Christ appeared through the wall. Come on now. Beam me up, Scotty. Jesus walked over and said, touch my hand. You know, where he'd been wounded. So Jesus also, we know, ate fish. Man, with your glorified body, there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. You're not getting any older. Jesus. You're not getting any older. No gray. Woo. You got no hair, you might grow some. Jesus, just saying. But the awesome part is you get this body that, man, you'll be able to go from the new heaven to the new Jerusalem to the new earth. Shazam. It's going to be stinking awesome, man. I cannot wait to get my glorified body. I don't know about you. What was really cool, there's a man who had died, and God gave him a vision of heaven, and his name is Roy Reinhold. And he said when he got to heaven, everybody was in their prime, 25 to 35 years old. That'd be really neat, eh? Although I think I look better now than when I was 25 or 35. What do you think, Amy? See, I paid her to say that. What's really cool, too, is the fact that it's all about family. God did not come to build a religion. He came to build a family. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are now citizens, family members of the household of heaven. God made a family. It's all about family. I want you to know that you're going to know your family when you get to heaven if they made it there. Now, again, that's one of the sad parts about doing funerals. There are many funerals that I've done that I wasn't sure whether that person knew Christ or not. Some would say, well, I grew up in this religion, or I grew up in that religion. But if they don't know Christ, it doesn't matter what religion you've been brought up in. You don't get saved by religion. You don't get saved by your religious tag. There's no name under heaven whereby you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. There are many people that I wasn't sure if they made it. But I want you to know that my wife and I, we had a child that was lost. She had a miscarriage, a very late miscarriage. His name is Colby. I know when we get to heaven, Colby will be waiting for us. I know when I get to heaven, my grandmother Elsie and my grandma Dyer and my grandpa Spencer, and I can go through the list of them that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and were living for God. I can't wait when I cross onto the other side. When I see and I get to heaven, my family is going to be there. Jesse Duplantis had a vision one day. And in the vision, the first thing he saw in heaven was this massive wheat field that would wave like waves. You know, when the wind goes through and you see the waves of wheat. And he said, in the middle of that field was a family having a picnic. I want you to know your family is waiting for you. They're waiting to see you face to face. They can't wait to see you. I remember, too, I was sharing, and I've shared at different funerals, but also we had a lady in the church. Her son had died. And when he had passed away, he was very young. He was in his 20s, getting ready to get married, too. And she said, I want to raise him from the dead. Listen, if you never pray for someone to raise from the dead, don't worry, you'll never see it. But you got to pray. Can I hear an amen? And have faith. And so we started praying for this man to be born again. To be raised from the dead. And we started praying and praying. They're down in Alabama. We're up here in New York. We're praying over conference phone, listening. And all of a sudden she said, okay. It was like an hour and a half later. She said, okay, you can stop. And I said, what's going on? She said, listen, I just asked the Lord why he hasn't risen yet. And he said, I asked him, and he said, no. He said, tell her I'll see her tomorrow. The Bible says 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. In eternity, they don't have linear time like we do. They have eternal time. So when we say, we'll see you in 60 years, they're saying, we'll see you in 6 days. To them, time is not like the constraint that we have here. It's amazing to realize how awesome it's going to be to see our family. We know that in heaven, music will be better. You're going to be able to hear better, by the way. Your ears will be healed completely. Colors will be better. The aromas will be better. And I'm a smell kind of guy. I like the smell of skunk. Anybody else like the smell of skunk besides me? Amen. Don't you? I like the smell. Except when you first hit them. When you first hit them, it don't smell the same. I also, when I ride the Harley, man, I love riding through the field, riding down the roads near the cow manure. I love the smell of cow manure. I just love that aroma. What's wrong with you people? My wife is saying, tell about the wild roses. But, you know, I don't know. I think I love the cow manure better than the roses even, you know. Just the aromas. I'm an aroma guy. Can you imagine when you get to heaven, the flowers that are going to be there? Can you imagine when you get to heaven, man, the smells and the sights and the sounds? Man, it is going to be just amazing when we get to heaven and everything that we have, our glorified body, is in absolute perfection. And the new heaven and the new earth come. And God just says, I'm blessing my babies right over there. Those are my kids. I'm giving them the best. I'm not giving them the second best. You know what's really cool? Too. It says that the streets of heaven are gold, but clear gold. Isn't that cool? Maybe it might not be clear gold in the essence that is clear gold. Maybe just we'll see it differently. It's amazing to realize when we get to heaven how everything is going to be just to the top of the line, baby. God has blessings for you. Can you turn to someone and say, I can't wait to get to heaven? There'll be absolute peace in heaven. There'll be absolute joy in heaven. There'll be absolute happiness in heaven. There'll be absolute love in heaven. Why? Because God is love, and there'll be no hindrance that the earth has to offer. There'll be perfect acceptance in heaven. There'll be perfect health in heaven. You know what's really cool? We're going to see what's called the New Jerusalem. It's 1,500 miles high. Now, that means from here to Miami, high. And it's 1,500 miles wide. I don't know how far that goes, but that's in the Midwest. All that. So we're going to be able to pop from the New Jerusalem to the new heaven to the new earth. Bam. Shazam. I just love this kind of stuff. It is so neat to realize how much God wants to bless you and how God wants you to be in heaven. He paid it all just so you could know him as his Savior. So that you would have him pay for the sin instead of you have to pay for your own sin. There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. And his name is Jesus. SWAT.
Just got back from conference?
I did. I'm serving on the board for the National Printers Association. It's really been kind of a really good opportunity for me to kind of share some of my life experiences, because I've been doing this for 20 years now, and where I am now from where I was 20 years ago, I'm a completely different person. It was all me controlling what I had to do, and I've learned over the years that it really comes down to having that faith in my relationship with Jesus, so that when times are really difficult, I'm not there alone. I've got the most powerful person in my corner. And it's really helped me to kind of put a different perspective on difficult times. So being in this Print Owners Association allows me to a platform to be able to share kind of my faith walk and how that's really helped increase my business, because it's given me that firm foundation that when times get difficult, which they always do, that I'm going to make it through, that it's going to be okay. It may not be the way I want it to be, but I'll be okay. So, and I think, you know, the fact that I've been with His Tabernacle for over 10 years, prior to that, I was in a denominational church, and it really kind of felt like they were just going through the motions. His Tabernacle really challenges me. And so I get the messages from the pastor, and I really think about how that affects my life and how I can improve and be a better Christian than I am today. And so I think that whole dynamic and the relationship I have with our pastors, I've had difficult times where I've walked in and he's talked with me and he's given me tough love, you know, not just it's going to be okay, but here's what you need to do and here's how you need to move forward. And that has made a huge difference in my life. It's made me a better father, a better husband. I think it made me a better boss. I mean, we have some great employees at my company, but I know some of them aren't saved. And I try to make sure that I'm presenting an image that they would want to be like. And, you know, it's not always easy because things happen. And I'm not perfect, but I try really hard to lead by example and show them the love that Jesus is showing me. And hopefully at some point they'll reach out and want a relationship with God and Jesus.
Awesome.
So we do great ministry work. A lot of it is overseas, but a lot of it's right in Elmira. And we can plant those seeds, and we see people coming to our church every week. There's new people being saved. So I know that we're doing the right things. And it just makes me feel so good to have a positive impact on those that are surrounding me. So I'm just truly blessed.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Oh, great. How about you?
Good. Looking through the kids' stuff?
I am. Grandbaby number 10's on the way. All the rest are toys, so this is going to be something special.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we ask you a few questions?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Do you go to church?
I do.
Where do you go?
I go to his tabernacle. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I asked him into my life many years ago, and very glad that I did.
So how has that impacted your life?
It's been decades for me. Salvation, I didn't get fed a lot at first, so it was real slow growth. But in the past, I'd say 10, 12 years, a lot of teaching. And I guess the greatest impact for me is that I now have a father who loves me unconditionally and meets my every need, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I now have peace that has had a huge impact on my life. So it's life-changing.
It's awesome. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Hi, Ashley. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Thanks for meeting me.
Thank you.
So, could you tell me a little bit about your life story, your upbringing?
Like how I got saved?
Yeah.
And stuff. Well, I grew up in the church, lukewarm, because my mom would go, but still, like, you know, she wasn't consistent. But she always, like, made us go to church, my brother and I. And that was good. But then eventually when I got out of high school, I had a boyfriend. Well, and during high school, I had a boyfriend, and then we broke up or whatever because I found out he was cheating. And then after that, like, I want to say I had, like, my wild years for 2 years. I was just partying, smoking, drinking, sleeping around, doing whatever I wanted. I was still in college. It was good. I mean, at least I had something going on for my life. And then December 2016, on my birthday, like, I really wanted to kill myself. I wanted to commit suicide. I didn't want to live anymore because it was just like, is this just what my life is about? Like, is it about drinking? Is it about, like, being popular, being pretty, fitting in with the people around me and whatnot? And I wanted to commit suicide, and And I didn't. And I remember going like to the kitchen, grabbing knives, and then just pointing them to my stomach, or like just wanting to stab myself and just bleed to death. But then I wouldn't do it either. And then that just made me think, like, wow, like, you know, you can't even kill yourself. But I didn't do it because I didn't know that if I took my life away, I was gonna go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. So on December 12th, I told my best friend, I told her the only way I will go to heaven, the only way I will give my life to Jesus is if something bad happens to me. So December 13th, the following day, a guy pointed a gun to my head and he told me, you better give me your keys, and if you scream, I'm gonna shoot you. And I cried, and I closed my eyes, and all I can think about was hell. Like, wow, like, I'm going to hell. Like, this is it. This is how my life ends. I die like this. And for some reason, he turned around, and he looked so scared. He opened his eyes, and he dropped the keys, and he took off running. And, like, I just closed my doors because I was actually cleaning my truck. So he wanted to take my truck from me. So I closed my doors. I went inside, and I was on the ground. I called my mom. And, you know, since that day, like, I was like, man, like, God, like, you gave me a second chance. Like, you know, I'm not to waste my life the way I have done it this last 2 years, you know. And so it took me, like, about a month to finally give my life to Jesus, you know, because it is a process. And I gave my life to Jesus January 26th. And ever since then, it's been the best choice I've ever made. Like, you know, being young and living your life for Jesus, it's the best thing you could ever do, because there's literally nothing in this world. Like, my happiness, my joy, it doesn't come from a man. It doesn't come from the money. It doesn't come of my career or of my family. Like, it genuinely comes from Jesus. Like, there's nobody that can take this. Literally, like the song says, this joy can no one take away from me, because it comes from the Lord, and it comes from within me, and it's birthed inside of me. And ever since then, I've just been really happy. Like, you know, there's times where I do feel down, but I mean, I'm a human. You're supposed to, I mean, you have emotions. God gave them to you. And yeah, that's my life story. And then I, you know, 8 months later, I joined Remnant Bible Institute, which now is a college. And ever since then, I'm here and I'm doing the will of God in my life. And it's just really beautiful to see how God uses me to bless other people and how he's changed me from the inside out.
Don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. It's not a religious, fictitious story. Jesus loves you. And he loves you so much that he paid all that he could pay to make sure that you could be with him for all of eternity. And today I want to challenge you, whether you're young or whether you're older, whether you've been in church your whole life, or maybe you've never been a day in your life. Maybe you grew up in a religion. Maybe you've never even read the Bible. The one thing is that God has you at this place, this morning, at this time. And he loves you so much. And he wants you to go to heaven. He wants to be with you for all of eternity. He wants you to see his face. He wants you to celebrate. He wants to bless you. Don't miss the greatest party of eternity. And it's a simple decision. It's choosing to serve him. And I tell you, you won't regret it. You won't regret serving God. I'm not saying it's always perfect, but with God on your side, you can't fail. If God is for you, who can be against you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, but Pastor, I've lost my faith. This morning you have enough faith preached to you that you can get right with God, that you can run the race. Man, God's put it in you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today, God wants you to secure, be sure, without any question, without any doubt, that if you die today, you know where you're going. Really, that's what matters. If you take your last breath today, do you know where you're going? I didn't say hope. Do you know? Well, how can you know? Jesus said very clearly, you can know. Receiving him into your life is that conscious decision that I'm going to serve him and he's going to wash my sins away. If I could have you bow your heads with me this morning, I want to give you the opportunity not to join a church or join a religion. Like I said, we have no membership here on purpose. You can't join this church. You can't join this religion. It's non-denominational. Isn't that easy? We're not here peddling a church building. We simply want you to know God. That's the only reason we're here. Not know about him, but know him. And know that you're new in Christ. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like him in your life, we want to pray with you and then give you the direction on how to succeed and run the whole race with God. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I think we had four or five folks give their hearts to the Lord this morning in first service. I know there'll be people giving their hearts to the Lord in Ithaca. I know all across where we do ministry, people will be receiving Christ. Today, Jesus wants you in his life. He'll be there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then, dear God, I want to see that open heaven. This morning, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want to pray with you. If you'd like to receive him, I'd like you just to raise your hand up right now. Just make that declaration, I want God in my life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Amen. Thank you. You put your hands right back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you over on this side. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? I'm not going to wait long now. Thank you very much. Yes. I just listened to Brother Ted preach a message on moments. Do you remember the young rich ruler who came to Jesus? And he said, Jesus, I've done all that you've asked. I've kept the Ten Commandments. What else must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says he was overwhelmingly sad because he was a man of great wealth. God doesn't mind you being wealthy as long as the wealth doesn't have you. What happened, though, was this, is the Bible says he walked away and he missed his moment to walk with Christ. Don't miss your moment. We don't know when we're going to have another one. This is the moment. You'll always remember, by the way, whether you're eternally separated from God, you'll always remember this moment. What's the date? July 1, 2018, 12:44 p.m., 20 seconds. You were given the option, and you chose to pay for your own sins. I don't know about you. I don't want that. I want him to look at me and say, hey, you're my kid. Well done. Oh, there it is. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus is calling you this morning. If you didn't yet raise your hand, you want Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up. I'm only going to do a count of five. Five, come on, get your hand up. Five, four, three, two, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. I pray you don't miss your moment. It's my daughter-in-law, Mindy. She's right on over here. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. What I'd like you to do is everyone turn to the person next to you and say this. If you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say that to them. If you didn't raise your hand but yet you still want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to make your way up right now. I want everyone to raise their hand. Come right out of your chair. Be brave. Meet me right here in the front. Come on, give me a hand clap as they come. Don't let heaven outshout you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God's going to change your lives, man. It's all I know. Amen. Proud of you. Come on, heaven's going to shout louder than that. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today I'm going to have you all pray with Mindy, who raised your hand, and we're going to get you a Bible. We not only want to get your Bible, we want to make sure that you finish this race. You ever seen somebody start something and not finish it? That's not what we want. That's not what God wants. God wants you to run the whole race to win. Sometimes that means you got to make sure you surround yourselves with the right people. So we're going to make sure that we get you a Bible. We encourage you to join Rock Solid Faith. Proud of you, young lady. And this is your adventure. It's going to be awesome, and God's going to bless you. Amen? If you'll follow Mindy right on over to the corner, we're going to pray with you, encourage you, strengthen you. Come on, give me one more hand clap this morning. Honey, what is that? What do you need? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Now listen, we're going to have a little party here. We're going to have some ice cream, or as we've renamed it, salad. Always name ice cream salad. That means it's always good for you. All right? So out in the foyer, there's salad. Enjoy yourself. We love you. Stay out of the heat today. Serve God with all of your heart. Don't forget to bring someone next week. We're going to talk about the rapture of the church. We love you. Serve God with all of your hearts.